Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 480. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
Oh my God, we're still podcasting. It's
a whole nother week, Tony.
Oh, it's been a week. We've been podcasting for a week straight. That's insane.
We haven't seen our friends or family or loved ones. Christmas has passed. War has come. Yes.
Jeff is still sick.
Somehow, it's probably accurate. So
he's got pneumonia now. He's dying. We're gonna miss you, Jeff. We're having this podcast in your memory, so don't worry about it. It'll be fine.
And Earl is back with us as well.
Ooh, he's not sick and not dying yet.
Let's see. We strong immune systems. We got it going on. All right. So last week we laid out our category awards. This week we are laying out our top tens. Going to come up with a joint top 10 for us. But before that, we are inducting the final set of 2019 Hall of Fame recipients entries. We asked for some options from our buddies out there in the wild. And they have given us a list of nominees to help us out here and give us that fifth entry. Street Fighter 2.
God damn it. That was my choice.
Well, then like, there we go. We just crossed that one off.
Got it in, yeah.
Final Fantasy 7. I don't want to read this one, but it's Donkey Kong Country.
Okay.
Half-Life, Super Metroid, Pac-Man, Galaga, E.T. on the 2600. That one actually says for giggles.
Maybe we love it, huh?
Maybe.
I own it.
And The Adventures of Lolo. I think we have some other ones, but I've lost them. I'm sorry. Because that was a while ago we asked for them, so.
Hey, blame Microsoft for announcing a new system. And yes. Thanksgiving for not being able to record.
And Jeff being dead last week, so.
Nice.
2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago.
Rest in peace, Jeff.
Thank you.
Okay, so what do you guys think here?
Supposed to choose one of these?
Yeah, it's for the listener friend of the show entry.
Well, we'll get Super Metroid. Then I don't have to do it later. Saves me a choice down the road.
Final Fantasy VII is like.
That's a choice, yeah.
Yes. Regarded as like the best Final Fantasy game.
Is that the Final Fantasy game that we want to induct? Because there are several schools. I know a lot of people are fans of 6.
There's 4, 6,
7,
9.
There's a movement for 9. Some people say 12. 12 I hear is super underrated.
I would not back 12.
Okay.
But, I mean, that's also fine. Anything else here? So, I mean.
Well, like I said, I was already going to nominate Street Fighter 2.
Then we can hold to that. Do we have a preference, Final Fantasy or Super Metroid?
I mean, we do. I prefer Super Metroid.
Yeah.
I'm sure Final Fantasy will come back around. I don't think Tony is heartbroken over us not picking Final Fantasy VII. All right. Well, our listener entry will be the fantastic Super Nintendo game, Super Metroid.
Yeah. So that's like on the Hall of Fame now.
One of
I
the
don't have to worry about it later.
Yep.
Fuck yeah. It's like this is like a freebie entry for us every time.
So as a quick aside, do you remember who nominated that?
Yes. Professor Smash on Reddit.
Okay. Wow. Okay.
He's a big Smash player.
He hides it well.
Yeah. All right, Jeff.
Yeah.
What is your entry into the second set of the Hall of Fame for 2019?
Well, I went with NES last time with Legend of Zelda, and I'm sticking with NES this time with Contra. Because this is like another formative game for me, man. It was kind of first like fun action co-op game. Introduced the Konami code. I don't know. It was just a game I really loved.
Why Contra, not Super?
I could never get into Super C.
Oh, interesting.
I don't know why, because they're very similar. But like Contra is just the one, dude. Like that's the game I just fell in love with.
All right. Well, Contra, just plain old Contra, right?
Mm-hmm.
On the Nintendo. That is Jeff's selection.
Tell me that was not one of the first games you like played through with one of your buddies, like back in the '80s. Like,
it was Super. Super wasn't one of the first games, but Super Contra was my introduction. It's kind of hard to go back, but
this is true.
You can't go back. That's true. Time travel has not yet been invented.
Not yet.
Contra's the best Contra.
Or has it been? Bum bum bum. You know what I hear is where you get Contra's corpse.
Yeah, I heard that won a runner up to one of our awards last week.
Yeah. Listen to that podcast to figure out which one.
Very prestigious. Earl, you said Street Fighter 2 was the game you were going to nominate. Which version of Street Fighter, or just Street Fighter 2 as a whole?
Well, no, I was going to nominate Turbo because I don't even know people still. I mean, everybody knows Street Fighter 2, but as far there's several dozen versions of Street Fighter 2 available, but Turbo's kind of the one that I think people generally accept as the definitive one. It introduces it's kind of set the speed for what would become Street Fighter. The original is a bit slower. This adds about several new characters who become key. Well, at least for Street Fighter 2, kind of big. Members of the Street Fighter lore. It's kind of also what the based off of, but Super Street Fighter 2, Turbo, the new challenges. Again, really good. It's just really, like, Street Fighter 2 Turbo is kind of like this is Street Fighter 2. This is what I consider the baseline version, even though there's a version before it, and it's the one that I feel like should be on this list.
Okay. That's fitting. I am going with an arcade title, Miss Pac-Man.
Ooh.
Never heard of it. Is that like Jungle Hunt?
It's very similar to Jungle Hunt. You play a gold circle that has a ribbon in its hair and runs through a maze. Eventually coming across these pellets that you eat, and then you can eat ghosts just like Jungle Hunt. So, obviously Miss Pac-Man is the, it's not really a sequel to Pac-Man because it was basically a ROM hack for Pac-Man, that Namco kind of, came in and made a cabinet out of, and now there's all sorts of legal trouble with Miss Pac-Man and who has the rights to distribute and own it. But anyway, it is a classic game. It's an improvement over standard Pac-Man because there are multiple maps, there are multiple mazes, there's cutscenes, which I think is kind of amusing, and it just plays great. Like it's a classic.
Do you think it plays a little like different than Pac-Man or no?
I feel that it control, like to me, I always felt it controlled better.
It does. I just thought maybe I was crazy for thinking that.
I don't know. It could totally be that we're crazy, Jeff. And maybe the machines we were playing Pac-Man on were just like, remember, they were a little bit older. Miss Pac-Man was slightly newer. And those machines always looked like they were better kept up for some reason. So maybe the sticks were just in better condition, or, but even playing on, like, you know, you can play the games on Xbox, like
Xbox or whatever. Yeah.
And it just, Pac-Man just feels very rigid, where Ms. Pac-Man feels way more fluid.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, just, you're able to like hit those corners hard and move in on the pellets a whole lot better. I don't think you're wrong in thinking that it plays a little bit better. So,
good choice. Good choice,
Tony.
So I keep going back and forth on this. I think our current list lacks a certain element, which is my element, the strategy game.
Yeah.
So you got Pac-Man. You got to reach. No, it's not going to be Pac-Man. You reach back to like what you think the definitive strategy games are, and I'm like, okay. Maybe Civilization, maybe Command and Conquer. But I feel like if you're going to like pick one that kind of resonates in a way that those other games don't, I kind of think I got to go with StarCraft.
What's a StarCraft?
StarCraft, the legendary game that kind of, you know, took over what RTSs are for everyone right now. It's like the game that defined the entire genre. I think
what year?
What year?
Yeah, I mean, what year?
What year was it? Like 96, 97?
All right.
Like I can't remember exactly off the top of my head.
The '90s.
Yes. It's like late 90s. Like StarCraft and Command and Conquer were both like late '90s.
I blanked out. What game are we talking about?
StarCraft.
StarCraft.
98.
Also, awesome game.
Yes, fantastic game. Controlled great. I feel like some of those early levels really, like, you feel like they were there's some really early levels in the game where you're like fighting off hordes of enemies, and I can't remember ever feeling something so visceral in an RTS game before, where like everything seemed to matter. Plus the storytelling in those games, just something that a lot of strategy games hasn't managed to match. And of course, the way that StarCraft kind of got latched onto by the community at large, and really got like the competitive scene around it, and really made Blizzard into what it is today, like that kind of juggernaut. So I think at the end of the day, if I have to pick a strategy game that would be like in the Hall of Fame, I think StarCraft would be the
one. It is definitely worthy of being there. Awesome game. I love those missions early in. I mean, there's a few in the game, but early in the game, like, you're given like a squad of people. Like, you can't build anything.
Yeah.
It's like, this is all you have. Try to survive and get to the end and get your mission done.
There's one early on where it's a timer based mission where you're just like fighting off hordes and hordes of enemies and you're just trying to survive. And I feel like there are so many RTS games where they've tried to emulate that feeling of like desperation, but just they fall short of like the very first game that tried it.
Yeah.
So,
all right. So there are our Hall of Fame entries: Super Metroid, Contra, Street Fighter II Turbo, Ms. Pac-Man, and StarCraft. All great games. People should go out and play them. But we are now. Yeah,
what was your choice again?
Ms. Pac-Man.
Oh, it was Ms. Pac-Man. There we go. Yes.
Yes. And we are now up to we're up to it. It's the end of the year. We're gonna lay out the 10 games we each like the best, and then come up with 10 games as a group.
God help us all.
Yes. Tony, what do you have at number 10?
Oh, number 10. Number 10 is Untitled Goose Game. I don't know. I wasn't expecting this game at all, but it's kind of cool to play a game where you're literally just an asshole goose wandering around causing trouble. It's so much fun.
I can't wait to play it.
It's really enjoyable. Like, there's not a whole a ton of depth here. Like, there's no replayability. The game itself is pretty short. But, like, for a few hours, you're like, this is awesome. I stole that guy's sandwich. Fuck him.
It just sounds like that was something that I mean, there's some other games that were just kind of like purely fun, but it just sounds like a game. It's like, hey, we created this thing that is just fun to play.
Yeah.
Whereas like so many other games are trying to go like a cinematic route or something. So it's nice to get a game that's just fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jeff.
All right. My number 10 is Void Bastards, which is...
God, I don't think you've ever mentioned this before.
It's a game I wish I played more of, but what I did play convinced me it was like something special. I don't know, it was just like a different idea for a roguelike. Like, I never played the one that was like a first-person shooter or like kind of like this cool, like almost kind of cel-shaded look to it. And it had like a really strong hook to it. To me, and like I didn't, like I said, I didn't finish it, but what I played of it, I'm like, I wanted to make sure it made the list because it did seem like a special game. So that's my number 10.
Nice. Oh. All right. So I need your help here. Do I include Super Mario Brothers U Deluxe on my list?
No.
Or does it get eliminated?
Okay. I think that's up to you personally. If you liked it, it came out this year, go for it.
If it's against something that's new, please, what are you doing?
It's also spot number 10. It's not going to appear in our top 10.
Well, no. He said it's in his top 5.
It's in my top 5. So if I eliminated, I move something into the top 10.
Yeah.
Okay. So just new Super Mario Brothers U Deluxe would have been my number 5. This is moving. Anyway.
So this is your pity number 10.
Yeah,
now,
this is then. My pity number 10. Stella, which is
Stella!
Not that Stella. it's a side-scrolling, kind of like an Inside or a Limbo-type platformer. It's a puzzle platformer, cinematic storytelling. I really liked it. It's a very pretty game. It's not very deep, but those games aren't normally. It's just fun. It's a cool atmospheric game. Great final level. So
it kind of has that art style too, or no?
Yeah, very similar kind of art style to Inside.
Okay.
Earl, what do you got at number 10?
I am not a coward, so I'm going to put Mario on my list.
Okay.
Ouch.
Fair enough.
But it is Super Mario Maker 2. It's more Mario Maker, and they just did have the free update, which I've not gotten to play around with. It is just a really fun and kind of creative tool to mess around with every so often. Like, I'm terrible at making designs, but just how simple it is to kind of go in there and create levels. And I like the fact that Nintendo actually included single player content this time, so I don't feel like I can compete ass wasting $50 for eyes, and I'm terrible at making Mario levels. But at least it gives me a baseline on where to start and ideas on what to do. And it's always just so great seeing how creative other people are with this game. And yeah, I think adding multiplayer adds a nice niche to it. But yeah, it's just a fun title.
Agreed. Tony, what do you got at number 9?
Number 9, Imperator. You know I love my Paradox games. I love my Roman Empire. This combines those two things into one nice little package. The game did have kind of a rocky launch. They rebooted a lot of it in like September, and they made some awesome choices when they did that. Really great strategy game. Definitely worth playing in the year of the strategy game.
Nice. Jeff?
Okay. My number 9 will probably make some worst of lists. But when we first talked about it on here, I said that I actually really, really liked it, and I wasn't fucking lying. I remember I was Crackdown 3.
I already started writing it down. It's like, I know what he's talking about.
Why is it on worst of list? I don't understand. It's not bad.
I don't know. It's a fun, like, I love that, like, that kind of, like, platformer you feel, and then, like, way you build on your abilities and that. Like, I genuinely think it's fun. Like, yeah, it's not like I'm not giving it game of the year, but I wanted to give it mention on this list because of the fact that it got shat on so bad.
I agree, Jeff. Earl, I'm not sure if you played Crackdown 3 and enjoyed it, but I don't remember. But I remember, like, the three of us, we really kind of liked it. And it was fun.
It was good. It was good.
So I had to give it notice here. I figured I might be the only one. So Crackdown 3, baby.
All right. My number 9 is Jeff's number 10, Void Bastards.
Nice!
It is a... I do not like roguelike games. Like, so... I don't like losing my progress.
Yes.
Like, I hate, like, a game where it's like, oh, do this run, and then, oh, you died, and then you start it all over again. This does that, but you don't lose your progress. So,
like, you still have to do the run, though, right? Like,
kind of, but, like, your ship does advance. So, like, when you reach that next level, like, you're only starting from there. So,
okay.
Like, you're not, it's not like, oh, you have to go get everything all over again. Once you get the badge printer, like, you have the badge.
Yeah. Well, you're, like, always building towards these things, right? Like, every run through, you might catch one of the other things you need, right?
Yep.
Right? Is that what it was?
Yep. And so you're always advancing. You never feel like you're, even when you die, you're not screwed. In fact, sometimes, like, it is preferable to die because you've run out of supplies. So it's like, all right, I could take the hit here, get a new role character, and start from there. And it is kind of cool. It does that Rogue Legacy type thing where when you die, you get a new character, and that new character has different traits than what your previous character had. So it's really cool. I like the comic book art style to it. It's really neat. So
it's on Game Pass, at least it used to be. So.
Yeah.
So I tried it.
Yeah. Totally. And that's where I played it at.
Yeah.
It's totally awesome. Worth playing from there. Earl, what do you have at number 9?
Number 9. I have a number 2. Or number 3, I should say. Marvel Ultimate
Alliance
3.
Yeah,
it's...
buddy.
Ew.
Sorry.
What? Ew.
I game is with, not great.
I'm with Tony on this, but
I got your back, Earl. Don't worry about it.
Hey, we are allowed to like different things. Earl, tell us about Mua 3.
You have your permission to be wrong, Earl. Go ahead.
I've going to say right now that my bottom 5 is really heavy in games that I just really enjoyed with my friends this year. And I think Marvel Ultimate Alliance is just one of those. It's not a perfect game. There are some issues with it, but it's a fun game. We had a ton of. It was a great summer title for us to pick up and play every so often. Like I said, with the couch co-op, it's the same thing with online. It's a really great game with a diverse set of characters that you can try out. The synergy attacks, while not as great or as creative as some of the other special moves in previous games, are still a ton of fun to see all that damage you can do. I think it has a great use of the Marvel license and trying to get all those characters in it. You know, for diehard Marvel fans, it's kind of nice to see X-Men and Fantastic Four characters back in the fold in actual video games. So yeah, I mean, I think it's a good return for the Marvel Ultimate brand.
Good.
Yeah.
Tony, what do you got at number 8?
I have. We've already talked about it. Crackdown 3. I thought that game was super awesome. I had a lot of fun with it. Really enjoyed it.
Nice.
Play Crackdown, people.
Fuck yeah, dude.
Get your crack on.
That's right.
I thought I would be the only one that had the balls for Crackdown on there. I like it.
I have more balls than you, Jeff. Oh,
Jeff. I'm impressed.
What do you got at number 8?
My number 8. It's a little game called Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3, motherfuckers. Good game. Some of us appreciate and some of you guys don't.
No.
But yeah, I played this mostly by myself. Like, I thought it was great. Like, I loved, you kind of, like, you know, switch up between the characters, like, using their special moves and shit. Like, it was really fucking fun.
Jeff expert on playing with himself. Yeah.
I think Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3 is, we said this when it first came out too, like me and Earl were both like, I think the game's really good. Like I don't know what you guys are not seeing in it, but
I don't hate it. I wasn't like, that is the worst thing I've ever played.
I don't think it was a weak year, guys. It was a weak year.
Yeah, but I got lots of strong games in my weak year.
Marvel Ultimate Alliance ended up at number 37.
At 37? 37. Okay.
There wasn't even that many
games. I have it at like number 16.
Okay. All right. my number 8, we've already talked about because it was Earl's number 10, Super Mario Maker 2. I don't think it's as good as the first one. I don't think it captured as many people as the first one, which is weird because the first one was on the Wii U.
I think the big thing was that it was so much like the first one, and the Wii U controller was just made for it because you had the controller and the TV screen.
Yeah, building levels was so much better on the Wii U version. I mean, this was still fine, but I didn't like when you had the Wii U tablet. It just felt like it was meant to be touched. If you're playing with the Switch, like, and it's docked, you don't have like that same mobility to make those levels. It just doesn't quite work as well. But I do think like the additions they made are fantastic to that game. And I'm kind of interested to go back and see that the new updates they made adding Link to it and stuff. So.
Yeah. I will say the one big problem with that was really the time in between it. It's essentially like 6 months after it came out that the first major DLC came out. And I do, like, to your point, I do think a lot of interest waned because, like, they added new stuff, but it was stuff that, like, oh, you die hard, people want it. Like, again, it improved the X jokes and stuff, but it's like, oh, this is neat, but what more? And I think them taking forever for that. And also just not having online multiplayer with your friends is an odd decision at launch.
Yeah. Like, I mean, no, Nintendo shoots themselves in the foot sometimes. So there's that, I guess. Earl, what do you have at number 8?
I think my number 8 is going to cause some headaches.
Oh, no.
Ow, my head hurts already.
But it is Gears 5.
Okay. Does that cause me headaches?
Well, I just think, I assume you folks have it much lower on your list than I do.
It's not on mine.
Okay. Oh, all I'm right, surprised well. By that.
I like the game a lot, I'm just saying.
Oh, no,
that you're a cop, that's why.
I'm just saying there's like a lot of really amazing games this year that were better than Gears 5, that's what I'm saying.
12 times, Jeff says like it's a week.
Go ahead, Earl.
And like I said, my bottom 5 is very much heavyweight towards games that I enjoyed playing with my friends, and in this case, it's you folks. We played a ton of Gears of War in the fall. You know, Horde mode is still fantastic. It's a great way to kill a Wednesday or Tuesday night. As we said last week, Gears of War still remains like the pinnacle of third-person shooting controls in almost every fashion. It just feels so good to kill stuff in that game. I think you, Anthem.
Anthem causes me to feel nothing.
And yeah, there's just enough new additions and stuff. But like I said last week as well, there are also some choices that I just didn't get. Like I said, you know, like they added that weird 3-player co-op mode in campaign, but it's not really 3 players because somebody has to be Jack. And like if like they give you an option to pick characters in campaign mode, but if you play by yourself, one person has to be a default character. So it's like you're not really giving me an option if I have to be Kate or JD. And Jack is just not that fun to play. So,
no, not at all.
But yes, Gears of War is my number 8.
Nice. Tony, what do you got at number 7?
So, number 7 is a strategy game, obviously. Total War 3 Kingdoms. Not my favorite Total War game, but does some really cool stuff. You know, it's pretty awesome.
Nice.
Yeah. I could talk a lot more about it. None of you guys have it on your list. So, you know, it's fine.
Jeff was really hoping. Jeff, what's it? Your number seven.
My number seven is Yooka-Laylee and the Impossible Lair, which, it's Playtonic's attempt at doing a Donkey Kong Country game, but they do things that I think are cooler than, or at least feel fresh and, new ideas. So the overworld has, actual puzzles and shit that you're doing, and almost to the point where, the overworld feels like its own game. And it's like a top-down, almost like a top-down Zelda game. And then the other idea that they have is, they took the idea from Breath of the Wild, where it's like, at any point, you could go try to fight the final, the impossible lair, if you think you're ready. So I think those two things, and just, the level of polish and stuff, this is way better than their previous effort where they were trying to do a Banjo-Kazooie game. They nail this. This feels as good quality as what Nintendo would do with Donkey Kong Country, but it actually has some twists on the formula. So
nice. I'm glad they got it right this time. So
you should buy it.
I'll think about it. My number seven is Resident Evil 2 Remake.
That's way too low.
Look, I really like Resident Evil 2 Remake. I think it's a good game. I think that it is missing some stuff from the original that I really liked. Where you would play the two campaigns and the decisions you make in one can affect what's happening in the other. So, if you take all the ammo out of a room, you take a certain weapon, that stuff is not there for when you play as when you play the B side, whether you play as a player or as Leon, depending on who you're playing as. I miss that stuff there. Both of these games pretty much play both sides pretty much play the same. They're a little bit different, but not too different. And
there's differences, and there's differences in the puzzles and stuff.
Yeah, a little bit, but not. It's not it's not the same. Whereas you were definitely playing in the same space that the other character was playing at with the original. The other thing is why it's not higher on my list is I think Mr. X sucks. He shows up way too often. I'm just trying to figure out a fucking puzzle or something, or clear a room of zombies, and oh, here he comes, gotta run away, come back. Oh, he's here, he's back again. Yeah, it's annoying. It's not annoying. Sure. Fun.
It's only in the mansion, really.
He starts showing up towards the end too.
Yeah, but it's kind of cutscene shit. It's just I don't think you ever really. I just played it again. I don't remember him being a factor near the end.
There's definitely some spots where he's chasing you towards the end, but the police station is a large majority of that game, and he chases you. But overall, I still think it's an excellent game. It looks beautiful. I'm super excited for Resident Evil 3. Unfortunately, I think that they've dragged that Mr. X stuff into the ground, and that's basically what Nemesis was in 3. I'm already dreading that. But
I'm so curious what they do with that, because they did turn Mr. X into the Nemesis. So what do you do with Nemesis now?
But still excited for it, because they've done that engine that they have here is beautiful. And I'm glad that it did really well sales wise. We're getting Resident Evil 3. I'm hoping they do Dino Crisis as well. It's the hopeful rumor that's going around. So.
That'd be cool.
Earl, what do you have at number seven?
Number seven is The Division 2. And again, like I said, my theme's very simple. Game with a spring. Yeah. I fit my friends. I did not play the first division, so I don't really know how to compare it. So I really enjoyed the concept of an open world game that set in an actual city. And it's kind of funny from an aesthetic standpoint because, like, you tend to play like these shooters and you get all these crazy costumes. But since this is based on real people, like, well, not real people, but an actual city and actual humans, so a lot of the dude is just like, oh, different kind of pants and stuff like that. So I find that concept really funny. But yeah, again, just a really kind of basic post-apocalyptic setting, and it was just a really fun time with my friends. So my criteria for this year is very basic.
Hey. How dare you have fun with your friends? That's not permitted.
How dare you have fun playing video games? You should allow us to do that. We should play the Division 1 that takes place in your backyard. So,
oh, nice.
Also, you get different parkas.
Ooh.
It's fancy.
I bought the Division 2. Can I play that by myself, or is it going to...
You can. I mean, you paid a lot of games by yourself. So you paid Borderlands by yourself. You can do the Division by yourself.
Yeah, you can play the campaign by yourself. It's kind of tailored to be played with other people, but you don't have to.
I played it for like a minute or two, and I was like, you know, sometimes you need to give games a chance. You know, so I was just like, eh. This is while I was buying like 8 billion Black Friday games at the same time.
So, it's like, a game to come back to, Jeff.
There are also loadouts in that game that makes it really easy. Like, you can have like a sentry that's like, you can have like stationary sentries, or you can have sentries that fly around with you. So there are ways to kind of not necessarily have a partner, but some ways to kind of alleviate some of that stuff.
Yeah. Cool. Tony, what do you have at number 6?
Number 6, let's put a strategy game on it. Yeah.
No.
Ooh.
Unity of Command 2. I like the new setting. I like everything that they've done with it. It's pretty awesome to be in World War II and play as the U.S. and, you know, solve puzzles. I don't know. There's something about playing a strategy game that's also kind of a puzzle. I think it makes it easier to get into. Like, it's going to get a lot more people to actually play the game.
Yeah,
because a lot of games like this are really super complicated and really hard to figure out, and it takes like a really complex era of warfare and like simplifies it in a way a lot of people understand. So, yeah, great game. You should play, Jeff.
Tony, I'm hoping that next year all of us will be able to discuss a strategy game that is coming out,
like Pikmin.
Is Pikmin coming next year?
There's been no word of Pikmin yet.
What strategy game is coming next year that you're talking? Oh, Gears
Tactics. Yeah, it's more of a tactics game. But...
yeah, that's fine. I'm all for that. I'll be there day one because it's free.
Yeah, Jeff, what do you got at number 6?
My number 6 is Borderlands 3, which I know it's more Borderlands, but I never really got like super into the series, and I just found this game to be like a lot of bang for your buck, and like also just really fun to begin with, you know. Like, it's, you know, awesome first person shooter / RPG / loot. I don't know.
I mean, you don't have to justify it. Like,
yes, you
liked
do.
It. I mean, you had a good time with it. Played it mostly by yourself.
I don't believe you, Jeff,
you're lying. I think the joy of Borderlands is kind of self explanatory. It's just. This one really clicked for me, and
okay. I'm gonna jump in here too because Borderlands 3 happens to be my number 6 as well.
Okay,
so it's an easy sell. Yeah. But yes, if you have not noticed my theme, it was a great game to play with a dozen different friends on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. It's more Borderlands, but you know it's above the Division for a reason. Is that Borderlands just has a lot of fun with the concept. Like, it's goofy and over the top, and like I said, I hate some of the characters in it, but the actual gunplay and the actual gameplay...
It feels good.
Yeah, it feels good.
Like, that's my thing. Like, the Division didn't feel good to me. This feels like a good shooter. Like,
I think, personally, I think the Division's a better shooter, but because you get so many different types of weapons and craziness in Borderlands, it's a better overall package to me. Because half the fun of Borderlands, which is something Anthem misses out on, and I'm going to take my chances take a dig at Anthem again.
Fuck you, Anthem. Again.
Is that Borderlands, like, it's like you will get a, like, one, there's the elemental thing, but like you'll get like grenades that will bounce or grenades that will pull enemies in. You'll get rocket launchers or you'll get a shotgun that can, you know, you can have a widespread shotgun, you can have a rapid shooter shotgun. You can have a pistol that shoots mini rockets. You can have tracking darts. There's a bunch of different combinations on weapons and what it does and what it doesn't do. Like one of my favorite guns is any that kind of reloads. And when you reload, it throws the actual clip.
As
That's really cool to do. Or I've not gotten it, but the one where like you get the gun and like when you reload, it turns into like a little turret. Or like I had one shield that like, anytime I took damage, it would send a damage back to somebody or freeze them.
What about when you reload, you throw the gun out? It's a like a grenade or a fucking the shields that would drop shield shit on the ground for you.
I had a shotgun that anytime I nailed down, it would just give me a front-facing shield, which, again, it comes in really handy when you're doing combat. It's like all this different stuff, all these different strategies and combinations, and then the different player abilities, and like the fact that certain characters can be like, oh, I don't need grenades. I'll just have two special abilities. All of it just combines to, like, it's more Borderlands, but it's so fun. It's always been fun.
Yeah. Fist bump.
All right. I'm sorry. Borderlands 3 is not my number 6. So.
You guys didn't play enough of it, did you?
I mean, I played enough to be like, this is Borderlands.
That's awesome.
Cool. I will not play it with, unless I'm playing with Tony and Walt and Earl or you. Like, I have zero desire to play.
I will never play that game like single player. They're just never going.
But kind of similar to Tony, who did not like the game I'm going to put here, and he regretted purchasing it. I don't know if I regret
Star Wars. No. 3,
but Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order is my number 6. For all the issues I have with it, and I've given a lot of criticism to the game. I did still like it a lot. It is the best Star Wars game we've had in since
Knights of the Old Republic.
It could be that. No, I mean, I enjoy The Force Unleashed.
That's true.
For what it is. Like, it is a fun game. It is not necessarily a good or great game, but it is fun. Jedi Fallen Order, I think, is better. It could have used another 3-4 months of polish, I think, though. But I enjoyed the adventure that it takes you on. I enjoyed going to those worlds. I do wish that Cal had lightsaber. Yeah, I wish he had like a little personality because he's so dull. I really liked it. And that ending is pretty much what solidified it here. So that was awesome. Tony, what do you have at number 5?
Number 5, let's see. I have Pokemon Sword Shield.
Whoa.
Sword, so that's the way it goes. Bunch of brand new Pokemon, new graphics, being able to play on my TV and seeing it in awesome HD for the first time.
Second time.
Well,
let's
exist. I mean, Let's Go was fine. But I mean that was like it was a remake. It wasn't like a brand new game, and this is like a brand new Pokemon.
Oh no, I get that. But just say it in HD, I'm like, but yeah, go on.
No, there were a lot of good decisions made in that game. Being able to like hunt down the Pokemon and see them in the grass and go find them, but still have like the random encounters. It's a nice game.
I think we talked about. I still think that's such a genius decision, having like the Pokemon on the overall, but also having that element of like random encounters, where it's like you can trigger them still if you want to, and you can avoid them if you don't. I'm like, More RPGs need to do that.
Yeah. I think the coolest thing about the game is something that I've always like kind of not liked about Pokemon games, the gym battles. I think they finally give them their full due. Like, gym battles are actually really cool and really awesome in this game. Like, you end up...
What the hell is going on?
He's singing it because the theme song for gym battles is kind of, it has chorus of them chanting. So it sounds like a, it's really cool. It's a nice touch.
It is. And you're like in front of a stadium of people and you got the Gigantamax stuff. So you end up with like massive Pokemon doing like massive cool things in a battle that kind of feels like it has weight and more weight than the other Pokemon battles in the game.
Yeah, I really like the fact that they limited that to just the gym battles because it does give it a very special element of like, this is something that's really nifty.
Yeah, I think it's cool. I think if you were to like play this as your first Pokemon game and then move on to a different Pokemon game, you'd be pretty disappointed in those other games. I think it's that much better.
Hmm. Well, I guess I'm good then.
I need to play it at some point. It's in my Switch now.
I played it. It almost made my list. I just cracked down 3 and needed that spot.
Fair enough.
It's not on my list. And the reason it's not on my list is because I'm still actively playing it. I think it would be...
What kind of reason is that? Damn it, Earl.
I know. It's a very weird reason. But I'm like, I want to finish it. But I think if it was, it would be my top 3, which is odd to say, because it's not on my list at all.
Oh my god. I want to slap you in the face right now. Come here, girl.
Here's a game that could be on our group top 5.
But no, I'm not putting out my...
I mean, it could still be on our top 10.
You're right, it could.
And I will back it. I think it's a ton of fun. I think it makes a lot of quality of life changes. To Tony's point,
because I'm still actively playing it. That seems like a reason to put it on your list so much of that.
Like I played Sun and Moon, I played X and Y, I played Black and White, but like I don't get too far into them. So there's even Pokemon that I know are repeats, but they're new to me, and it's like it just adds because so many of them are not just like Gen 1 and 2 Pokemon I'm seeing throughout the game. So.
All right. Jeff, what do you have at number 5?
My number 5 is a game that I'm happy you included, Chris, which is Jedi Fallen Order. I don't know why I was going to turn against this game.
I actually
out and out love it. Like I actually didn't have no real issues with it. Like it was a mishmash of games I love. So really no big complaints. It just there's other games I liked a little more, you know?
That's fine. I mean, that's what we're here for, right? Arbitrary rankings. My number 5 is Sayonara Wild Hearts.
Woo!
This is a game that Jeff was playing over the weekend.
Yep.
And he was seemingly having a great time. I had heard good things about it. He said it was about $10. Here's how this actually played out. I was going to go play Luigi's Mansion and finish that game. And I was like, I will just download this in the meantime and then get to Luigi's Mansion. And it downloaded real quick. And I just jumped right in and finished it in what amounted to 2 sittings. It's not a very long game. And then unlike most games, when I finished it, I immediately started playing it again.
Oh, wow.
And played through it a second time.
And it gives you like a mode where it's all the levels connected, right?
Yeah, so that was the mode I played. So there's what they call album mode. So when you start, it's level-based. Like, you play a level, there's a song associated with it. It's a shooter or, you know, like an on-rails type, you know, arcade-type thing going on. But they end, like you get to a stopping point and then brings you back to a menu. You can pick your next level. But when you beat the game, it gives you the option to play it in what is called album mode, which is just a long, like start to finish every level all in one go. And it's awesome because it gives you this really cool looking visual cinematic that doesn't stop unless like you happen to die or fail. So there, like, there is a fail state to it if you screw up enough.
Oh no!
But it's very, very forgiving game.
Oh, super forgiving, and like, it'll like, it's like, hey, you're having some trouble with this. Do you want to quit? Do you like want to skip ahead or something?
Like, you always skip to the next checkpoint. Like after you die, like
I don't even know what it did because I never took it up on that option. But it did keep coming up. I probably should have like, hey, stop.
You just don't get the points you could have gained in that section. That's right. Like it doesn't game doesn't dock you at all. It doesn't dock you for dying. Like you don't lose any points for dying or like making mistakes. It's just like, I don't know. It's a very, very generous game in that regard, I think.
Yeah. So I thought it was great. And I am glad Jeff played it because like I had heard good things about it. But if he hadn't been tweeting about how much he loved it, I would not have tried it. And like, I'm glad I did because it ended up, number five. Earl, speaking of number five, what is yours?
What is my number five? It's another number three. It's his old boy, Luigi's. He's got himself another mansion. Technically, it's a hotel this time. Yes, Luigi's Mansion 3 is my number five. And this is not a game that I enjoy just because I'm favorite of friends. We said last week, it's the game with, I think, just some of the best graphics and animation this year. Luigi's just such a charming character. And I think...
I'm sorry. I should not have said that.
Luigi's a fantastic character.
He sucks.
And I think, you know, kind of going full bore with having these unique themes for and making it like really just kind of like it's a giant escape room. Like each level is just trying to figure out the one main hook of this level to either get out of a room or discover a secret entrance or defeat the boss. And I think it's a great combination of one and two with very unique boss ghosts on every floor while still giving you a lot of mobility as Luigi when you're exploring and trying to figure stuff out. I think Luigi's a fun addition to the game. I think it adds to the puzzle solving when you get to do two different actions at the same time. If there was one downside to it is like, even though there's a ton of boss ghosts, there's not a lot of variety in the ghosts you actually encounter from Fear to Fear.
Only, what, like three or four?
I think there's four. And then like, usually it's like, oh, this one has like a briefcase in front of it that you have to yank out, or this one has sunglasses you have to suck off. But other than that, it's pretty much... I mean, that is what the action is called.
Sure.
Hey...
I mean, there's worse action you can get, I suppose.
Exactly. It has not appeared on Jeff's list, so I have a feeling we're going to be talking about it again.
Yeah, it's probably been quiet, kind of. Actually, like Earl kind of like really summed up a lot of the great things about that game, so it'll make it easy for me.
All right. Tony, what do you got at number four?
Number four is a strategy game I haven't actually mentioned yet, because haven't been enough strategy games. The console edition of Stellaris was released. Stellaris is a Paradox game I played a couple of years ago, but I was super impressed by the way they adapted it to a console controller, and I think it's probably the best strategy game you can actually play on console. It plays super smoothly for a game that has so much going on. And I always liked the game because I felt like the tutorial systems were really awesome for a game that was as complicated as it was to like explain what was going on to anybody. So you could like figure it out in a way that didn't involve like reading through a manual or whatever. So I think if you were looking to play like a game where you're trying to conquer an entire universe, this is a game that anybody could get into. And being able to play on your Xbox is just a bonus. So I think that game was fantastic. I look forward to playing more of it.
Nice.
Yeah.
Jeff, what do you have at number four?
My number four, maybe you guys heard of it. It's a little game called The Outer Worlds. I'm sure there's going to be much more said about this, but I just really appreciate what Obsidian does with like their take on these RPGs. And I really love like the kind of intricacy and the nuance to the storytelling that they do, where it's like you could justify everything that you choose because the writing is so good, but also it'll make you question everything you choose because the writing is so good. So I don't know. That's kind of why I love The Outer Worlds, and I'm sure we'll be talking about it more. But
we can continue talking about it. It's my number four as well. it's a yeah. I think like everything Jeff just said, and we talked about it a little bit with best single player, and you know how Jeff was like, oh, it kind of only plays like a Fallout game. But I think that for me, like where the gunplay is not noticeably good. It's fine.
It's fine. Yeah.
But for me, like the actual game, like the what's fun about the gameplay is, you know, increasing your hacking skill or your science skill or your for me it was my conversation points and being able to talk my way through conflict.
Yeah.
And like come up with solutions that were nonviolent, like which was really cool, because in most games it's like, oh well, you get here, you talk, and it's like you get to the end of it and it's always like, oh, you got to kill the guy. And here it was like, all right, well, no shit, I was able to convince him to leave, or I was able to convince this person to join up with these people. And that's like super satisfying. It's like, hey, I was able to like navigate the choose your own dialogue tree and come up with like a really cool thing that in most games would just end up with everybody dead.
Yeah, you could totally avoid entire conflicts, you know, just by having that stat up.
Yeah. Or cause them if you really want.
Right. Yeah. You could totally talk people into fighting each other as well. So. Yeah. I think like that to me is what made it really stand out. Earl, what do you got at number four?
Number four, I have Apex Legends. Again, I kind of went over out of this with our category awards last week, but a phenomenal, phenomenal game. It's the first game that really got me into battle royales, and I'm not great at the game, I will be upfront with that, but I always have fun playing it. I think, like I said, I think the core concept of having a squad makes it a bit more digestible than you being this own ranger trying to survive against 99 other people. I think having class-specific abilities and characters who have a bit of personality to them helps. You know, just as a personal preference, I think that the characters, there's what, 6 or 7 of them at the start, were all pretty diverse. There was a mixture of not just gender and race, but also sexuality. I believe it's one of the first major games to have a non-binary or a gender binary character.
Ooh.
Which so, one? Yes, it was. It's a robot. It's always a robot. I forget their name though.
It's the one with the
gas mask. Yeah.
Okay.
I think.
Now I'm confused.
But yeah. Okay. Again, I think the shooting's great, and I had a ton of like magical moments this year. Like, I think I forget if I mentioned it on the podcast. I remember one of the first times I played, I just ended on one of the, you know, when you jump off the ship, there's a bunch of places you can land, and we end up ending on another ship, and, you know, like, everybody kind of ends, nobody has anything, so we're all kind of rushing around, and I end up getting to punch somebody off of the ship and having them crash to the ground, and of course, with the fall damage, they end up dying. I'm like, it's just like those chaotic, unplanned moments that just makes the game so special.
Was it Bloodhound? The guy with the hawk.
Well, it's not a guy, but
well, the guy as in the
person, the character,
the person. Yes, sorry. Like, yeah. But when I walk into work, I say, "Good morning, guys," and like I have a group of people. Like it just. But yes, I get what you're saying. Yes. I love Bloodhound. That character has an awesome look. And that was actually the first time I played as Bloodhound, I won. So I then retired Bloodhound from being played by me. But
I won once, never again.
Yep. Tony, what do you got at number three?
So I normally have a game over. This time it's Madden. For some reason, I got obsessed with this year's Madden. I think I've played it more than any other game I've played this year. In fact, I'm playing it right now.
God, disqualified.
I think they finally perfected the RPG elements in the game to the point where as you're playing through the season, you get like challenges against other teams. Like, so you'd be facing, like, say, Andrew Luck, who's not in the NFL anymore, but is still in Madden. And you'd be like, you know, what do we do against Andrew Luck? And you'll have a bunch of options. And you can, like, okay, we'll try to win again, like, absorb what he can do, or we can try to neutralize him. So you'll get XP based on how you do against that particular player in the game. And that kind of stuff, like, changes your strategy. Like how you might actually play in the particular game of Madden. And I think that's really cool. And there's like stuff like reporters like getting in and like, oh, you're doing so well this season and like getting a season. I kind of, in my last run to the Super Bowl, I got a bunch of bonus XP because one of my players was like on the verge of retirement and the other players around him really wanted him to go out on top. So, like, you get all these, like, bonuses and stuff for him succeeding in that kind of environment. So I think there's a lot more based on, like, getting involved with your actual teammates and, like, building them out in a way that they haven't been built out before. So I think that's all really cool, and I've really gotten obsessed with playing the game this year.
So nice.
Madden 20. Play more Madden.
Jeff? We got number three.
My number three is Luigi's Mansion 3, which Earl already spoke in depth on why, and I kind of agree with him all around. But just like the big things for me are like the production values. Like it looks fucking great. The theming, every level has different shit going on, and the variety of bosses. It's just like that. Full package that you expect from Nintendo. You would think this was made by fucking first party Nintendo. It's that good.
Ooh, I love Nintendo's package.
So.
All right.
I'll leave it at that. There.
I'm sure we'll discuss it a little bit more shortly. Mm-hmm. My number three is Apex Legends. It is.
Whoa. I don't like where this is going.
It's a top-notch shooter. It's an excellent battle royale. I think, like as Earl said, like it makes great decisions on kind of making that type of game more accessible to everybody. You're able to communicate with your teammates without talking to them at all. The ping system's great. I think the guns are fun. Having special abilities with each of the characters is really cool. It's like, you know, you start to learn how to play the different characters too, because what I also like is the draft where you kind of come in and it's like, you know, okay, you're going to pick this one, you're going to pick that one. And like, so it's like, oh shit, well, I was going to play Bangalore, but can't now, but all right, now I'll play Wraith because you took him, or I'll play Bloodhound or something. The characters have like really cool personalities, and it's an excellent, excellent game. I have not tried the new map yet, but the original map was great.
New map's pretty cool, you should try it.
They also have Christmas stuff, right?
Oh, there's Christmas stuff? Awesome.
Yeah, there's snow and like Christmas.
I love when games add like holiday specific stuff to it. So I should jump in and play some of that with you guys. Earl, what do you got at number three?
Number three. And I'm just gonna be up front. I think my one and three are games I've mentioned but have not talked about a ton on the show after the fact. My number three is Astro Chain.
Yeah.
Which is the Platinum Games Switch exclusive that came out in August. It is a, Platinum Games, at least to me, just a really top-notch action title that always feels so good to play. And they just have a scope and a momentum about them that a lot of games don't really know, can't really maintain and don't really try to go after. And this one, I thought, did a good job of balancing what Bayonetta does. I like Bayonetta, but Bayonetta sometimes is just kind of... And this isn't necessarily an insult, but they're kind of like the Michael Bay of video games, where it's kind of set piece after set piece after set piece with so little in between outside of maybe a cutscene. Where Astral Chain, because you're playing the police detective, there are parts, times when they show it down for you to do investigations, for you to talk to people, to figure out what's going on. And even after that, there's still things where you have to look around to find hints and clues, or to help people out in town, or to arrest people before it gets crazy again with the big action set pieces and going after these enemies, you know, going into a different plane and everything. Music is top-notch. And yeah, I mean, it's just a really solid action title.
Nice. Tony, what do you got at number two?
Number two is The Outer Worlds. We talked about this a bit earlier, but I think the storytelling is outstanding. The gameplay is fine, but I think it does a really good job of like drawing you in and making you experience all the elements that the game has to offer. I love the RPG parts of it. I, too, got obsessed with the dialogue stuff. So I think it's awesome. It's the one game this fall besides one other game that really, really sucked me in.
Yeah.
We'll talk about the other game momentarily.
Okay. Jeff, what do you got at number two?
My number two is Resident Evil 2. I don't know. The game is just like the complete package to me, man. Like, granted, it's taking off of, like, it's redoing an old game, but I guess maybe, you know, that's a sign of, like, the times. It's like, they don't make as many games like this for me anymore. It's just, like, an awesome, like, you know, kind of, like, adventure puzzle type game where you're exploring, like, these different areas, but, and, you know, it gives you enough, like, reason to, like, play through it, you know, a couple times, like, you get to play through as different characters or, you know, the different tracks. I think there are enough differences in between the two. I don't know, man, like, these games have always been my type of thing, and just see it done so fucking well, like, there's no way it wouldn't be in the talk for me for Game of the Year, so.
It's certainly a beautiful looking game, so. All right, my number two is Gears 5.
Yes, five.
I really enjoyed the single player. You know, the open world stuff is not the best, but I enjoy the attempt that it makes there. And I still had fun with it, even though that, like, some of it's a little meh. Like, there's nothing going on in the open world, so you're just driving around for the most part. But everything else, like the set pieces that they still have designed, any of the missions that are taking place outside of that open world stuff are excellent. It is a top-notch action game. I like where the game goes. There's an action that happens in that, in the fourth act that, kind of was like, holy shit, like, I was not expecting that, and it's a decision that you have to make yourself, so it leaves the series in like a weird spot character wise when that's over, but then finishing that up, jumping into multiplayer, like, the competitive side is fun. I think arcade mode is an excellent addition. great way for people to jump in and feel powerful in that game, because if you jump into other modes, it could be a little bit dicey for you, because it's very much a shotgun spree, which can turn some people off. But then they, go ahead.
I'm always fascinated by the fact that they've not changed that since the first one, but I'm also like, that's kind of what the franchise is now.
Yeah, I mean, like, that's the... They've tried to make adjustments to make it so that it's not as Nasher heavy, but it's also what the players that play competitively want to play. So it's like, it's kind of a mix of like, you can't change too much because you're going to anger the people that stick around in favor of trying to bring in new people. So they've added stuff like arcade, which does allow you to play with other weapons and then there's the top-notch co-op stuff with Horde, which is still great. I mean, you know, there's Earl mentioned some issues with the class system. I happen to like it, but outside of Jack, I like picking a character, but I've also been fortunate enough that the characters I've picked, like when we play, nobody wants to play as them, so it's not like, oh shit, like I wanted to play as Del. Well, Walt's already playing as Del. Guess I'll play as somebody else. I haven't run into that. And then Escape is fun. Like, you know, it has the issue of if you have a random, it could suck, but if you're playing with three people you know, it's a blast. So everything about the game kind of top tier.
Yeah.
Earl, what do you got at number two?
Number two is a 99. It's Tetris 99. And wow. Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, Tetris is Tetris, and it's always fun.
This is true.
I mean, it's sometimes it's the simplest things in life are still the best. And I mean, like, taking something as Tetris and finding a new way to put a spin on it, that still at its core is very much Tetris, still very much fun. But it adds an element, like, there's an, it's like that, like those old Mario and Sonic games when, like, your time used to run out and the music would get fast and it would just create this nervous anxiety in you. That is Tetris 99 for the entire duration of playing the game. And it's just so fun to be in that zone. I'm terrible at the game, but I'm always having fun doing it.
I am glad that Tetris has made it. It did not resonate with me the same way, Earl, but I'm glad this is the second year that we've had a Tetris end up being talked about in our top 10. So, yeah, you need more to add on Tetris 99?
No, I mean, right. Say it. It's free. Well, I mean, it's somewhat free.
You got to pay for the online, but
yeah, which I still don't think is worth it. But Tetris,
well, there
is
you
great.
Go, unsold. It's Tetris. Congratulations!
But you do get those Nintendo and Super Nintendo games.
I mean, to be fair, it's up to like 75 games now, so it's a decent.
It's cheap, like
yeah, it's $20 a year, so it's not.
If
awful.
You want to go that way, I think I have a friend's account. I'm paying like $5 a year.
Oh, right, so. you can do like the shared family thing. Right?
Yeah.
So that is kind of cool. Tony, what is your game of the year?
You just spent a whole lot of time talking about it, so I'm not going to spend too much time. But Gears 5, I think, is outstanding every way that I've played it so far. It's like the one game this year that I can think, you know, I really am glad I played that and would not miss it if I hadn't played it. The rest of the games are pretty forgettable, I think. Like, you know, there's been a ton of great strategy games this year, but I don't think there's been a whole lot else. And Gears, on the other hand, has been like awesome in every respect. So, Gears 5.
Nice. Jeff, what is your game of the year?
Alright, so for up until about a week ago, and for an entire year before then, my game of the year was 2. But
you can't pick it for 1 and 2, Jeff. You can't do that.
Something came along. And I think I'm giving it the edge to this game because it's something new. But Sayonara Wild Hearts is just like a such a perfect arcade game. It looks cool. It has great music. You can pick it up and play. You understand it right away. It's brief. It's like an hour and a half long. Anybody can play it. Anybody can beat it. But if you want to get good at the game, there's definitely room there to get, you know, high scores and stuff. Like, it's like that perfect type of like arcade game. And just for me personally, like the music and the visuals, like I just personally loved, you know, like it like set that game even higher for me. And it just kind of edged out Resident Evil 2 just because it was something new. And just to see like what an impact like a small like indie game could have on me, like the joy I felt playing that game from start to finish was just like nothing else this year. Like that game just like hit me like a ton of bricks. I'm like, this is amazing, you know? So that's why it's my number one.
Super uplifting. Like,
yeah.
It was, you know, much like, you know, how Earl has a bunch of games on here that he played with friends, like, because they were fun. Like that Sayonara Wild Hearts is just like, it's just fun. It's just like,
yeah,
it's video games in like its best form.
It's just kind of pure joy, and the first time you're playing it, it's pure surprise because you like
you don't know what's happening. Yeah.
It's just like, right. Oh, I love this song too, and I love this level. Like it, like I don't, each level like manages to surprise me in some way, you know. So
yep.
Yeah, Sayonara Wild Hearts is mine.
My number one is not as cheery as Sayonara. it's Control. Tony and Jeff do not like it particularly.
I like it. I like it
fun. Enough. Right. You like it enough. It's everything about it clicked with me. I love the disorienting setting at the beginning, which that threw Jeff off. I enjoy how the gameplay progresses and grows. I understand like where people would come away from it going, didn't click with me. It was firing on all cylinders for me, and I came away really, really loving it. So Earl, what is your game of the year?
So this was, this is my game of the year, but I just a bit of a backstory. One, I've not mentioned this game at all on either one of these two podcasts before.
What the hell? Podcasts,
these two episodes. So I think that's very strange.
Stealth drop.
I talked about it on the show, but like, it wasn't in any other categories last week. And nobody else has mentioned it. And I was going through, I kind of do a thing on my site, which I'm very bad at, of like just kind of going through the year and seeing stuff that come out. Because sometimes it's very hard to keep track of things that's come out in this year, like in January, February, March, whatever. And I was going through games that came out in January of this year. And I saw a game on this, and I'm like, oh, yes, that has to be my game of the year. And this was like 2 months ago, and I've been trying to think of like what other game has been better than it to me this year, and I couldn't think of anything. So I've mentioned this on the show before. My game of the year is Jade Aspire. It is that card-based roguelike dungeon crawler RPG game that I think is on Game Pass right now. And like so many of those words and concepts are just not my jam, but for some reason this game, like everything taken together, has just been so addictive to me, and I've just enjoyed every moment with it because I think it's just random enough and just skilled enough that you like, I could do it next time, I'm gonna get it this time. And you still get screwed over by the game and some stupid logic, but you're like, that was fair. I deserved it. We're going to try it again. And then you beat it, and it's like, okay, I'm going to do it again with a different character. And then you keep on going because it's just that addictive.
I fully understand. It's cool that like this game, it doesn't seem like it would be something that would be for you, ended up clicking. So that's great.
What is it called?
Slay the Spire.
What Spire?
Slay the Spire?
Kill it. Like, kill the Spire.
Slay it.
Kill it. Slay it. Sword. Yep.
Yeah, Slay that Spire.
All right. All right, now is the time. So those are our top tens. We got to come up with a list here.
God.
Kill me now. Kill me.
So let's see. Here's what I'm thinking in the top five based on what I'm seeing on our list. Outer Worlds, Gears 5, Luigi's Mansion 3, Sayonara Wild Hearts, and Apex Legends.
Whoa.
I mean, that sounds like a great top five to me.
I like that list. That's a list.
Now, how do we fashion the bottom five?
Make it up all strategy games.
All right, good.
I think, I mean, that could be wrong. If it was like the bottom five, would at least include Resident Evil 2.
And Resident Evil 2. Yes. I'm sorry. Yes. Resident Evil 2. I mean, that could be arguably in the top five, too.
Top five as well.
Should be game of the year.
It wasn't your game of the year. Fuck off.
Right.
Don't say. You had your chance to say that before you didn't.
I know. It's close. I said it when I said it.
No, you didn't. Liar.
Let's see. And based on where we place them, Resident Evil 2 would be at like number 6. But we could put it there. I mean, it will be on the list, Jeff. It's not going to be on the list.
I would say that I think Borderlands 3 would make it as well, because I think Jeff and I had it at number 6. I'm just trying to think of ones that were duplicated on this.
Star Wars was, but I also like for.
Well, like, I think it also
two of us named Crackdown, two of us named Void Bastards too.
That was
so
also
far down our list, though, Jeff.
Because I feel like stuff at Control would be there beforehand, just because that was number one.
I'm just stirring the pot here.
No, I understand. Let's see. How does this is a not a formulated top 10, but as a overall. These would be the 10 that we would have on the list. Outer Worlds. That's a different game. The Outer Worlds, Sayonara Wild Hearts, Gears 5, Luigi's Mansion 3, Apex Legends, RE2 Remake, Borderlands 3, Slay the Spire, Control, Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order.
I boo that list because there's no strategy games on it.
Okay.
I'm just saying, this was an awesome year for.
Say the last three again.
Like the fact that there was an expansion to Civilization came out this year, and it didn't eat my list.
Jeff. Here, let's try this one on Tony. And Jeff, listen so that we can see how this goes. Outer Worlds. Sayonara Wild Hearts, Gears 5, Luigi's Mansion 3, Apex Legends, RE2 Remake, Borderlands 3, Slay the Spire, Control, and Stellaris.
Ooh, sound like that.
What did you replace from the other one?
I booted Star Wars. It hurt a little bit.
I don't know. I think it's crazy not to have Star Wars in the top 10, but
that game sucks. I hate it.
You hating it does not mean it sucks. It's a good game.
It's not a good game in any fashion. The fact that it's so close to your most beloved franchise does not merit its inclusion on this.
All the kind of games it copies from are all like beloved games. It's not like
that's great, but it doesn't copy from them well. Like if it was like a good version of those games, you'd be like, "Awesome!" But it's not.
You just have to play it more. It's a good game. It's on your top 10. Think... Right?
It was. I am willing to drop it off. To
cater for his Stellaris, I don't.
Okay, what if I was to be fair and drop my game so that you two can get your games?
I'm just scared. All right, what's your game?
We're not dropping Slay the Spire was
that was
top,
number one
game. Like we're not dropping that to a like.
All right, fine, think, whatever, man. Fucking well, Star Wars. Star Wars will be fine without us.
Right, I don't think we're hurting Star Wars, Jeff, by not having it on this
I'm
list.
I'm fine with it. Ultimately,
10-9-8 Stellaris control Slay the Spire.
I accept that.
Yes,
that's fair. All
right. All right. Borderlands 3.
I'm fine with it. Wherever.
Seven.
Thunder, I'm happy.
Yeah, I think it's not a game that's going to be like fight. It's not game of the year.
There's games I'm going to fight about.
All right. Here, Jeff, I'm going to give you a choice. I'm going to let Earl veto this if he wants. But Resident Evil 2 or Luigi's Mansion 5-6. Where at?
I think they both got to be in the top five. That's bullshit. But if I had to choose Resident Evil.
Okay. I mean, that's where, like, if we were just, like, looking at how we kind of placed them all on our list.
I think those two would be in the top five.
Luigi's Mansion at 5.
And then what?
And then I guess we argue.
Did you put in Resident Evil at 6?
Resident Evil's at 6. Luigi's at 5. Alright, well here's what we have, Jeff. Like, I mean, we can move Luigi down.
I would switch them right away, I think.
You would switch Resident Evil and Luigi?
I mean, it's a tough call, but I think Resident Evil is the, like, I don't know, it's my favorite. Like, I'm going to play Resident Evil way more.
Yeah, obviously, like, you have it higher. Like,
yeah.
Earl, you okay with that flip-flop?
I'm not going to fight Luigi's Mansion. As long as it's in the top 10, it just needs to get the recognition. It's a really fun game.
Okay, so we can put it at 10, then.
Let's not go that far.
All right. Apex at 4 or Sayonara at 4?
Well, okay, this is going to be because what is. Like, I've not played Sayonara. I think Apex is a top 3 game of the year, clearly. But what is your case for Sayonara?
Dude, it's like if you took the great parts of 3D Sonic. And that was it. And you made an hour-long game. With
wait, there were great parts of 3D Sonic.
Yeah,
I was gonna say
where you're going real fast, and you're like going left and right, and just like collecting shit. Dude, that's all it is.
Say which 3D Sonic motto, though.
Jeff, you're not helping us here.
Isn't that like a good way to describe the gameplay? So it's like you're just going forward on a track, and you're kind of like trying to get as many hearts as you can, basically like. You're trying to get a high score, but there's not a lot to it. Like,
I just fell asleep while you were describing it. Chris, can you do better?
I mean, it's that to an extent, but there's also elements of shooters. There's elements of like on rails, kind of like I'm trying to like think of Beam Rider or something like that, where you're.
Like 3D Sonic when you're going fast.
No.
Stop saying 3D Sonic. That is not a good argument for anything.
Sign our Wild Hearts is 4, I guess. Based on Jeff's arguments.
Yeah.
No, like, and Rez, which, you know, classic new age kind of arcade shooter. It has that kind of aesthetic where it's this classic arcade game, but there's more to it than just like picking up the hearts. Like like Jeff's saying. There's also the shooting elements. There's also the elements of trying to like hit the best path to kind of, you know, accelerate yourself or, and then there's also these sequences that are almost fighting game-esque where you've now paired up one-on-one with a boss or something, and you have to time your button presses to make the attack on them proper. So there's like a lot going on in the game.
It's like very small quick time events when you like go up against someone else. Like,
yeah. So it's more than just the good parts of 3D
Sonic.
Just a fucking wild ride. Hour long wild ride. Great music and visual, like,
and that's more it than anything else. Is it takes you on this really cool adventure through the coming to terms with you know, losing like breakups in relationships and coming to terms with yourself and recognizing that you're okay and that the people that you know broke up with or that broke your heart weren't doing it because they were malicious. They just did it because you weren't meant to be together. And so like ultimately she comes to terms with forgiving them and ultimately forgiving herself. So like there's a really cool story and message behind it.
I can't wait to play it when I'm tripping.
I bet that is terrifying, Jeff.
No, like you couldn't imagine. Like it's kind of like you know, like any kind of like repetitive, like cool looking visuals like that will just kind of man. It's gonna be great one day.
But I also love Apex, so like I mean, whatever. I'm okay with Cyanar being at number 3, but if you guys are like, oh fuck that shit. I don't care. I'm not gonna stink.
I'm with Apex being number 3, but does Tony have a dog in this fight?
So I played Apex for the first time last night. I thought it was pretty awesome, but it's hard for me to have
first time?
Yes. But it's hard for me to have a real opinion having only played it once.
Yeah. So I guess there won't be
obviously.
It sounds like Cyanar gets 3 because it's that's not enough attention. And I'm a very easy person to appease, apparently.
I think Apex at 4 is. I mean, I think all the games in our top 5 are excellent. All these games are excellent.
Yes, I just think that Apex will be a game that we talk about in 10 years, sure. And this Cyanar game, I know you heard about tonight, so yep. I will check it out.
You should definitely.
Yeah, I certainly want to check it out now.
It was on sale for like $4 off or something. I mean, it's not expensive to begin with. It's like $14 game, so like $10.
What is it on?
I played it on Switch.
It's also on, like, if you have Apple Arcade, I think it's on.
It's free on the Apple Arcade.
Yeah. I don't know how it would play on, like, a touch device, but.
Fire plays good. I gave it my game of the year, so worth $10.
That leaves us with 2. The Outer Worlds and Gears 5.
Yeah.
This is interesting.
Okay, I'm just gonna put my I'm gonna hedge my bets on Gears 5 being number 1.
Okay.
I mean, like I said before, it was higher on my list, but in like I said, 2019 for me, to Tony's point, was not a super strong year for games, but if there's one thing that defined my 2019, it was games that I enjoyed playing with my friends. And I don't think there was many game that were better than Gears of War this year.
Yes.
It remains one of the, again, I've said it time and time again, it still remains the pinnacle of third-person shooter. It still remains one of the best co-op experiences, so-so in story, but like Horde mode is still one of probably the most ingenious inventions in gaming to me. in that it's like this co-op mode that you can play with your friends that's always changing. And like you can have strategies and stuff, but like you never know what you're going to get. Like I said, Escape has some balance issues with the 2 to 3 people, but when you get to play it, it's actually a really fun. It's a really fun challenge. It's a really fun and different mode. I think it's kind of it's a weird survival horror element in Gears of War, which is great because I think Gears of War got away from the horror element after 1, and this is a nice way to bring it back.
Yeah. I'm with Earl on this. Love the Outer Worlds. I think Gears 5 is the complete package. It's literally a game that has something for everybody. You know, you can play the single player campaign. You can play that with friends. You can play competitively, which this is something I love about it as well. The competitive side, you can play just against AI. So you can go in and play with friends and play against computer, controlled enemies. So you're not playing against the sweaty dudes that are, just running around with their gnashers all the time.
Why are they sweaty? I don't understand.
They're trying so hard, Tony. So
I see.
But also that the AI mode, you can play with the difficulty on it, so you can play any difficulty that's available in the game. Horde mode and Escape both have 10 levels of difficulty. We play on the baby
one
mode.
Of the lower ones, yeah,
and we still get our asses kicked.
We don't need to let people know all that.
I think one of the reasons, and we have run into issues where we haven't been able to finish the horde mode. One of the things, when you boost it up a little bit farther, when you die, you're done. Just over. So I do being able to you don't spending 2 hours running a 50 round horde match and then
die in the last level and be
god damn it. Yeah. You just wasted everything. So yeah, I don't think there's any shame in playing on beginner. especially when we don't always have a full 5 set with us.
This is true. In fact, we rarely do.
Because Jeff won't play with us.
Yes, damn it, Jeff. This is why you're dead to Walter. I don't know if he told you that or not yet.
No, he's not.
But I'm also I don't either way. I think I would prefer Gears 5 here, but the Outer Worlds winning doesn't phase me either.
I mean, my personal vote is for the Outer Worlds, but it sounds like you guys all are leaning towards the other one.
Well, I mean, what is your case for the Outer Worlds? I am here to listen to it.
I just thought of the Outer Worlds for a while now. That was one that we all kind of agree on, but I don't know if Earl that you played it.
Well, I played it. It was in the previous discussion when we talked about best single player game.
So, I don't know. I just felt like it was one that we all kind of came away from kind of with glowing reviews.
And I think
similar
number 2
with
would still
Gears
be
5, though, right?
I think number two still says it's a great game.
I didn't play the campaign of Gears 5. I played half of it and I stopped. So, that's one reason why I would be to be oh, this is game of the year. I thought. For me personally, multiplayer, yeah, it probably is. Even though I didn't play as much as you guys, it probably would be my multiplayer. But
you should finish that campaign. It ends so strong. There's stuff that happens.
Here's my thing about the Outer Worlds. I hate to backtrack against things I've said previous podcast, but it feels like there are a lot of sims to the Outer Worlds that provide a lot more content. It's a great game that I really enjoyed playing, but there are other really similar games that I enjoyed playing that gave me the Outer Worlds gave me.
I don't know. I really really appreciated it more. Like, I like the setting. I like the writing.
Oh, I no, like, I like all of that stuff.
I know. Like, but, there's other games you know, like it. For
if
sure,
you're like but... Fallout New Vegas, okay, gave me all of that and gave me like 200 hours of gameplay. This game gave me 20 hours.
Hey, I was the one saying that from the start. You guys were
to me
that's like a benefit.
It is a benefit. It's just it's hard for me. Like, okay, this is the number one game of the year. If that's the case,
I came to appreciate the depth of what was there, though. Like, there really is a really deep, like, you know, wide range of things to choose from in a way, like. So even though it's short, it's like worth playing through again. Chris? Earl?
Yes.
Anyway, help me.
I mean, I like Outer Worlds. I don't know if I'll go back and play it right away. I will at some point.
I mean, it's definitely worth playing on a completely different route. Like, it does play out differently.
Does it?
Yeah, you get different missions.
I guess.
I mean, you can turn in the doctor guy like,
yeah,
immediately, yeah. Which I assume would change a lot of how that game plays.
Yeah,
that is not.
No, there's like, entirely that seems different. Like
that seems like the wrong way to play it.
Right.
They make it interesting. They do.
I'm sure they do. It just feels wrong. Like, I mean, there's no necessarily.
That's what I did in my second. I completely betrayed him in the second one, and like you do completely different missions and shit, like than you would do in the other way.
Just so. Opens up different avenues.
Yeah,
All right, let's take a vote here. Jeff, you're going Outer Worlds.
I'm voting Outer Worlds.
Tony,
Gears.
Earl,
Gears.
I'm gonna go Gears 2. To me, it's everything. Like, I could play it with you guys. I could play it by myself.
Yep.
The Outer Worlds is I could play it by myself. Just not a bad thing. Like, single player games are awesome, but
yeah,
Gears 5 has everything for everyone, provided you like to shoot things.
It even has the best version of Terminator this year.
Don't say that.
It's, I mean, you can play as the Terminator.
Or you could watch Dark Fate. And
it's good. You haven't seen it yet, have you?
I have seen it. I wouldn't make that joke if I hadn't.
You didn't like it?
I didn't mind it, but it's like...
Dude, I'm hardcore about it. I love it. I thought it was great.
Honestly couldn't tell you what happened in it.
Arnold... has a human wife.
Yes.
Arnold the Terminator.
He doesn't know.
Alright, after you said that, I totally erased any desire I had to see it.
Oh, it's so good.
It's good. So no, it's weird. Actually, I think it's like
actually a sweet story, but they do away with it so quick.
It's hand-waved.
They could have done more with it.
Yeah. Anyway, you can play a Terminator in Gears 5. You can also play the human lady that comes back if you want to. If you pay them like $17, I don't.
Okay,
don't do that. Don't.
Yeah.
Do that.
But why would I want to? I mean, I have Sarah Connor, and you got badass Sarah Connor. Well, I guess technically
you have old,
badass Sarah
old
Connor.
Sarah Connor.
Yeah.
Isn't Sarah Connor always badass? Like, except
well, no, she's not in the first one. Yeah. Well, I mean, always she dies in. Well, she dies before 3. And then we don't talk about Genesis too much.
Mm, yeah.
Not in good company.
But what about the Sarah Connor Chronicles?
Oh, I actually like that one. I think for me, it originally was Terminator 2. The Sarah Connor Chronicles was my trilogy. And then it would be Terminator
2. I think the Sarah Connor Chronicles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so we have picked the top 10 here, though. Number 10, Stellaris. Number 9, Control. Number 8, Slay the Spire. Number 7, Borderlands 3. Number 6, Luigi's Mansion 3. Number 5, Resident Evil 2 Remake. Number 4, Apex Legends. Number 3, Sayonara Wild Hearts. Number 2, The Outer Worlds. And number one, Gears 5. Are we okay with this? I mean, I can make a late suggestion that we say Halo Reach is the number one game.
God.
I'm going to throw it out there. I just going to hear feedback. Number one game of 2019, Death Stranding. Because
agreed.
As far as I can tell, it is the only game where you find out that your mother is the president of the United States, and she has died, and you have to take her body to the incinerator before it becomes a bomb.
Yep.
So I mean, on that notion alone.
Also, and then your sister impersonates her and takes over the presidency, and she is dead and living on a beach in San Francisco.
Okay, so your sister's dead.
All right, these are awesome arguments, but let me offer this counter argument. Fuck all of that.
All right, we will be back next year. Gears 5, excellent. Go play it. All these games on all of our top 10 lists are excellent. Feel free to share your top 10s with us on Twitter. Tell us that we're how wrong we are in our opinions, or how much you enjoyed our different opinions. Nobody
Before
actually.
Here we go.
Yeah.
I just want to say one more time for 2019.
Death Stranding.
Screw you, Anthem. You are a terrible, terrible.
We end the year where we
wow.
Anthem sucks.
Yeah. I can't even argue against it. It's just such a dull game.
There's nothing there. I feel so bad. BioWare, what happened? Oh,
I'm just
you guys paid for it.
I never got excited for it. Like, for whatever reason, I was just, I'll wait and see. And that was like one of those ones.
Made the right choice.
To be right. Yeah.
Oh, no. Coming into 2019, Anthem was like one of my most anticipated games. And
me too.
I mean, concept-wise, it was awesome. You play as Iron Man.
Yeah, like everything on paper sounds amazing. You get to play a bunch of Iron Mans with your friends, and there's like different armors. It's like the Hulk Busters one, and it's like, yeah, and then you get all these different guns, and it's an open world. And it actually, it's a really nice looking game. It's like, and then you play it, and it's like, oh, none of this works at all on any level.
Poor so. Anthem.
Poor Earl.
Yeah, poor us for being duped by Anthem.
Yeah. At least Thanks I a lot. Did not pay for it.
I paid for it. I paid full price for it. Fuck Anthem.
Sorry for you guys. All right. Well, enjoy. Well, I hope you've enjoyed your holidays because they're over now. So enjoy New Year's, though. We'll be back next year.
Next decade.
Next decade, yes. 2020s. We'll see what the games bring. It is bringing us a giant tower Xbox. We know that.
Amen.
And Cyberpunk 2099 or
2077.
Sure.
Resident Evil, baby, game of the
Resident Year. Resident Evil 3, Gears Tactics. There's some games coming out next year. We're going to play them. We're going to talk about them
all year.
Yep.
So many strategy games for Jeff.
All the strategy games.
So many.
In fact, we're going to get Jeff to play some strategy games.
He'll enjoy it. Get a PC, Jeff.
I think I am.
Yeah.
All right. Jeff, say goodnight.
Goodnight.